Hey, everybody, and welcome to Learning from Smart People. I am your host, Rob Oliver, and I appreciate you being with me today. I will tell you that I am here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and let's just say that winter has finally started to arrive. We've had unseasonably warm December, but I think our high today is like 32 degrees, and Mother Nature has just said, I didn't forget about you. I just gave you a short reprieve. That being said, I hope you're having a wonderful day wherever you are, no matter what the weather is outside. My guest today, my smart person that we will be learning from is Katarina Rondo. And I'm going to say my taste buds are Italian, but none of the rest of me is. So my best pronunciation at Italian is Katarina Rondo. Katarina, welcome to the show. How did I do?
You did great. Thank you, Rob. I feel like I'm in Italy.
Wonderful. You know what? I will take that. And I don't speak any Italian except for like pasta names and, like pasta fagioli. That's the extent of my Italian. But I'm okay with that because I would survive for a while on Italian food. But I digress. Katarina, let me just give you a quick introduction. She is a woman on a mission. She is helping women to uplift themselves, their families, and their communities through thriving businesses. Business is, my tongue apparently is sprained from inaction over the holidays. Her specialty is sales, speaking, and strategy. So, Katarina, I appreciate you being here. Let's jump right into this. Tell me a little bit about your backstory. Like, how did you get to where you are today? And was this always your mission, or is this something that you discovered more recently?
When I was in my last year of high school, my sister opened an Italian deli cafe. I worked behind the counter. I worked behind the counter for a few more years, and then my sister left, and I took over her business as the manager slash owner of the catering and cafe business. I loved having a business. I loved talking to the customers all day long. I make the best cappuccino you ever met in your life. And a cafe is a community, a neighborhood cafe. And one day this lady comes in my cafe and she thanks me for some business advice I had given her the last time she was there.
Wow.
Well, the truth is, Rob, I don't even remember the conversation. On that day, though, when she expressed her gratitude, it literally touched my heart. I felt a pang of bliss in the middle of my chest. And I thought to myself, this is what I'm going to do with my life. Because I had been feeling like, wearing tomato sauce and making sandwiches was not my calling on the planet. And that's when I set my life on a different trajectory. I already had a business coach who had said that I would make a good coach. And I was finishing my master's in counseling psychology, not knowing what I was going to do with it, just knowing that that was the shortest master's program. So that's why I did it. It seemed easy enough. And I started to hang out my shingle. But here's the thing. I didn't know how to get clients. I mean, when you have a cafe, you turn on the lights and you open the door, right? And people come in. And that's when I had to also learn about how do you sell and how do you speak to get clients.
Okay. So you and I are more of a kindred spirit than I realized at the beginning. Okay. Yes. We both have an appreciation for Italian food. And it sounds like you were at least enjoyed the cooking process and you also enjoyed that sense of community that comes when people hang out together. Right. And that's, which is beautiful. However, you and I both have a master's in psychology. So we're kindred spirit there. And interestingly enough, I think I use many of the skills that I learned in that process every day in my life, even though I am not a psychologist and I'm not doing counseling about anything. I'm doing, training and helping people, but it's not classical counseling in the way that, most people would look at it. So you realize that this is kind of what you want to do with your life. What I'm hearing you say, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, is that this is both a passion that you have and a skill set that you have, and you decided to take your passion and your skill set and put them together and turn them into a business. How's that sound to you?
Well, absolutely. I wanted to help other people be successful in their entrepreneurial ventures. And as we talk today, Rob, what the story I shared with you, that was about 29 years ago. So I've been doing my thing for a long time. And as you know, with entrepreneurship, it can take a very circuitous route. You can go here, you can go there. And that's part of the beauty of it. Some years I was doing more publishing. Some years I was more of a runaround trainer. Some years I was doing more one-on-one. I run a lot of group programs these days. I run a lot of retreats. And what I want to say is that, you know, when you hire a business coach or consultant, you think that's what you're getting, a coach or a consultant. But those counseling skills, Rob, I use those all the time. And counseling, cheerleading, this is all part of uplifting others and supporting them to get where they want to go. It's not just, you know, do this.
Right. You know, it's interesting because I have another podcast. My other podcast is called Perspectives on Healthcare, because I'm a speaker. I speak to medical professionals about quality healthcare. But one of the themes that continues to come up in that podcast is this. It's about listening. You have to listen to your patients. That's the advice that has been given so often to medical professionals. And I think it's the same thing that has a coach or a mentor. So many times people think that that's me telling people what to do. And it's not truly about you telling people what to do. It's you listening to people and empowering them to make the decisions to do what they want to do. Does that resonate with you?
Yes. What I want to share with you here, this is very exciting, okay? Because also you're a trainer. And I teach at Thrive at Sales Train the Trainer program. And here's what I tell them. It's about having the people you're talking to feel seen, heard, valued, welcomed, cared for, know that they matter, and that they have massive value to bring, that their participation is important. And I share that with you because people think about consulting or even being in business that it's about, you know, bringing your expertise. Well, yeah, that's part of it. But those other things I just mentioned, that's what does empower people when they feel seen and heard and valued, even if they're in a room with a bunch of other people. And that's the true mastery that I'm hoping everyone's pursuing.
Okay. I want to key on something that you said there.
Okay.
Yeah. Because you said that everyone brings massive value.
Yes.
Okay. And a lot of times I think people feel like, well, this is just little old me doing my little old thing. Like I'm nothing special, but you're saying people bring value and
okay. Yes. But let me say this. Okay. Cause I was in a clubhouse room recently and this guy was saying he wanted to be a speaker. Right. And here's the thing. We think that our massive value is our expertise, but all those other things, like you mentioned about being a good listener, genuine caring, this is also massive value. Being encouraging to people is massive value. This is what people have to recognize, that value is not just your expertise, it's also your heart skills.
Yeah, no. That is so huge. Okay. And let's talk about this. Okay. Because to me, for people to feel heard, for people to feel that their thoughts are valued and matter, that is such an important skill set that,
right.
You know, you have to be willing to ask people to share. And then when they share, you have to do two things. Number one, you have to shut up and let them share. And number two, you have to actively engage in what they're saying, so that it's not just like, okay, I'm going to let you have your turn to talk, so that after you're done, it's my turn to talk. It's actually about being receptive to them. And in that way, you are you are building up their value and their understanding that right. you see them as someone who is worth listening to.
Exactly. And then that makes them feel like they are worth listening to. That supports them in bringing their voice forward more, because any conversation is about both participants. If we're talking about training, it's about everybody in the room. This is the thing that people have to realize. People feel like, well, you know, there's not, like you said, there's nothing special about me. There's something special about all of us. It's not just about our big brains. And I know you like smart people. I like smart people too. But I know, Rob, that you equally like people with big hearts. And this is our heart skills that I want to encourage entrepreneurs and people in healthcare to not turn down their heart skills. I want them to amplify them. Don't wear your heart on your sleeve. Wear your heart all over your business, right?
Yes, that is so powerful. And to me, the concept of learning from smart people, and my regular listeners may get sick of me saying this, is that we can learn from every single person we encounter, okay? Everybody has experiences, everybody has expertise in areas that we don't. And that is more than just intellectual facts. It is lived experience. It is heart skills, as you have labeled them. And to me, there is, let me throw this out to you, okay? There is an unlimited supply of people that I can learn from, okay? But
Absolutely. On
the flip side of that, there is also an unlimited supply of people with whom I can share both my knowledge and my heart skills. What's your reaction to that?
Absolutely. There's a lifetime supply of people to serve. I mean, Rob, if the pandemic has showed us anything, you know, it has showed us that as much as we like to be live and in person, we can bring massive value without being live and in person. You know, we're having the privilege of this beautiful conversation right now on two coasts. I've done three speeches in three different states before 2 o'clock in the afternoon from my dining room, and having the ability to touch and meet and connect with people all over. I mean, that is a huge gift that the pandemic has brought us. It has really accelerated our community possibilities with our virtual world.
Okay, let me just say something, and that is, you just talked about the gift of the pandemic, right? Do you understand that? Like, you mentioned that that the pandemic has been a gift for us, which is incredible. It is, people don't look at things that way. People, you know, the pandemic is terrible. The pandemic has been a rough experience for everybody, but we went through it and we've learned from it. And we have learned that we can connect with people virtually and in person, and maybe virtual isn't always as enjoyable as in person, but it is at least a base level of connection where we're all on the same page and all together and acknowledging each other.
Yes. And I would say it's better than base level, because right now we're having a good time. We're connecting. We're sharing our ideas. You know, this is a wonderful way to spend time. And yesterday I was networking with ladies from all over the country in Australia, you know, making new friends, connecting. I mean, here's the goal. If you're getting off any Zoom more uplifted than when you got on, that's massive value. And that's what I want everyone to understand.
Yeah. No, it makes so much sense. And it's so straightforward. The idea is to, what can you learn from each experience, and what can you contribute to each person that you come in contact with? Because I'm thinking about this. Sometimes people feel like, you know what, I need to do something before I'm ready to go with this, okay? Like, I need to do some form of training or get a certification, or I need, like, there's something that I need to do before I start. What's your reaction to that idea?
Okay, well, look, we don't want to teach a workshop on a topic, Rob, that we know nothing about. Here's the same, at the same time though, everybody has to get started somewhere. Now, what too many people do is they get ready to begin to think about and research before they get going. And now we're talking about a year later, whereas if they had just gotten their party started, they would be a year closer to mastery. That's what I want everyone to understand. I remember one day I was teaching a all-day workshop on how to do retreats, because I love to do retreats. And I was in the bathroom and this gal says to me, "Katarina, this is a really good idea. I'm going to do a retreat in about 9 months. And I said, "No, sweetheart, you're going to do it in 6 weeks." Okay. Now, she took my challenge.
Okay.
By the time 9 months rolled around, she had done 6 one-day retreats. By that, not only having so much more mastery at it, Rob, but also having the revenue. Because the more we get ready to begin to think about getting going as entrepreneurs, we're not only pushing off our mastery, we're pushing off our revenue. And the truth is, and I know you know this, it's in the doing that you figure it out. It's not in the research and the talking to 50 people and all that. It is in the doing that we begin to embrace our skill and then our mastery.
Okay, let me give you this analogy and I'll be curious to get your reaction to it, okay? And that is, I was just talking to a friend of mine who is in the master's program in art therapy, okay? And she's talking about all of the wonderful things that she's learning in school, but she's also working while she's going to school. And she says that what she's learning in school is fantastic, but what she is learning in her job is a different way of applying the things that she's learned. So
right.
In that way, what I'm seeing is the training is extremely valuable and it's important and you can't denigrate that or dismiss that. But you yes. also need the real world experience of doing things. And the more you do them, the more you are able to build a skill set and apply the things that you have learned and really, as you said, build towards mastery of that skill set. Right.
Move towards mastery. Yes. And yes, I mean, Rob, you know, I've got no shortage of certifications and credentials and all that. Of course, clearly I value education, but that is not where you are helping the people. You're helping the people in the practice, the practical application of that, like your friend in her internship. That is what I want for everybody is experience. Now, here's the thing. It's okay to say, hey, I'm not a certified XYZ yet. What I'm doing is I'm getting started. And would you like to come to my workshop where we're going to talk about XYZ? You know, people say to me often, Rob, they say, "Katarina, how did you get started?" Well, three gals and a flip chart around my dining room table. That's how I got started. You know, and you don't even need the flip chart. So the truth is you get started. How do you get started? You get started. And then you upgrade and you keep upgrading. You know, I'm getting ready to do my 16th retreat. Okay. The first one, you know, I didn't really know much about what I was doing, but guess what? The ladies had a great time and I learned a lot. And so we did it again.
Right. Yeah. I love it. So what you're saying is that you need to have a certain, you need to be willing to start where you are and you don't have to be, okay, I'm sorry. You're coming to understand that I live in the world of analogy. Okay. And that is baseball players don't get to the big leagues, right straight out of Little League, that there right. is a process in which they are building their skills. They are becoming yeah. better at what they're doing. And the goal is one day to make the big time, make the majors, but you've got to build your skill set as you're moving forward. Is that?
Yes. And baseball is a great analogy because the games are so long that they're getting their 10,000 hours in. You know, what Malcolm Gladwell said in his book, Outliers, is totally true. It mastery comes from 10,000 hours in. Now, Rob, if your listeners are hearing this and they haven't gotten started yet, they're going to be thinking, you know, That's very depressing. That's a very big number. But here's the beautiful thing I want everyone to know. Every hour in is 1 hour closer to mastery. And every hour that you're contemplating, you're researching, you're surveying, you know, you're taking 6 months for market research, all of that is pushing off your mastery and your revenue if we're talking entrepreneurship.
Okay, so I want to talk about what you just said there.
Yeah.
Okay. Because you were saying that about the things that you have to focus on and the things that you have to let go of. Can you talk to me more about that? Because you said, I think you said something like let go of the, you said it beautifully. Well, so I'll let you go.
So here's one thing, Rob, you know, this is why I'm anti pursuit of perfection, because perfection keeps people not taking action. Okay. I say it's not, perfection is not required. It's not encouraged. As I said to you, I've been helping people grow their business for 28 years. 28 years ago, I had a lot of value to bring, but I'd like to think I got more now. It is in the doing that we learn, that we grow, that we expand, that we're able to dance in any situation. And here's the other thing. You know, I said to you, Rob, earlier that they're pushing off their mastery, they're pushing off the revenue, but here's the other thing they're pushing off. They're pushing off their bliss. I want everybody to be blissing in their business and their whole life. And you know what makes people bliss? When they help people. I will say also, when I sell something, that makes me bliss too. Okay. I'm going to tell you the truth.
Sure.
But when we see that somebody came in and they are not confident and they're not clear, and maybe they're even depresso, and we help them, and of course they're doing the work, but we're the cheerleader or the consultant or the coach, or sometimes, Rob, like we were talking with listening, we're simply holding space for them to reveal or explore, or we're making them feel safe to do that. All of that massive value. And then bing, 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 a few weeks later or a few months later, we see this transformed person and they say thank you. And that will literally fill our heart more than just about anything.
So what I'm hearing you say is that, yes, you are being paid for your services, but there is something beyond the monetary side of service in which people are leaving their time with you as better people, as enriched people, as better at business, better at life.
Well, yeah, my goal is that every interaction I have on the planet, that everybody leaves more uplifted than when they showed up. You know, that's personal, that's professional. Here's the thing, Rob. I will tell you, I mean, there is no reason why I would do this unless I loved to do it. And everyone who has their own business, I hope you love it so much. I hope you're so excited to do it. If not, go find whatever it is that you are super excited about. Because, you know, the beauty of entrepreneurship is we get to live an authentic life, right? We get to be ourselves. We get to do our thing. We get to serve our people. And if we're doing it right, we get to massively monetize our mastery. But the thing is, we get to choose how are we spending our time.
Yeah, no, it is so powerful what you're talking about. And so let me just ask you this, that you have chosen to work specifically with women in this.
Yeah.
What made you make that choice?
Oh gosh, this is always an uncomfortable question, Rob. Well, here's the thing. The truth is that I had a husband of one of my participants sexually harass one of my other participants. So that was the day I made it very clear that, you know what, we're just going to leave the guys outside. And I mean, that's the truth. I don't usually reveal the truth, but I did with you, Rob, because you're lovely. And if I had a lot of guys like you, I would have perhaps made a different decision. The other thing, though, is that women thrive in a women-only community. They, and we know this from studies, you know, the girls stop participating at puberty in class as much as they used to. And of course, we're grown women. We're not girls in puberty. But at the same time, I find that a community of women really makes women flourish.
Okay. Well, let me just share with you like my bigger view, you know, like my 10,000 feet view or whatever you want to call it, is that there are a lot of communities out there that are typically disenfranchised or not involved in the business building and growing practice. Okay. And so that is women, that is minorities of, you know, racial minorities, that is as well people with disabilities. Okay. And to me, empowering those groups to be able to really take charge of their life and their, you know, the impact that they have as a result of their own businesses is really, that is such a powerful impact and such a life-changing message. That's got to be so fulfilling to you to be able to see the impact. And I'm sorry that, you know, I'm sorry that it came from a bad experience, but to me, it sounds like that bad experience helped you identify this is actually who my tribe is.
That's, I had been thinking about it for a long time. And that was the thing that finally did it on that day. And it was the best decision I ever made because it has not only been great for my business, but it's enriched my life significantly. Because, you know, Rob, as I said, I want to be myself. I want to do my thing. I want to serve my peeps. And it's my business. I get to do it any way I want. That's the other thing, you know? And this is the way that really vibes for me. And that's what I want everybody to know. That's the beauty of self-employment. You get to be yourself, do your thing, serve your people. And yes, you know, I worked on the ERA countdown campaign when I was in high school. I also was a teen counselor. I was a teen counselor in a women's health clinic. And as a teenager. And so I felt like, you know, women were my thing from very young, that was the purpose I chose to give my life.
Yeah, it makes so much sense. And let me kind of give you the subtext of what I hear coming from you. Okay. And that is you have incredible business skills and incredible business expertise to share. But at the end of the day, you are really about your heart skills and you are really about making connections. And if you could describe for others, you say, okay, whatever you do, here is the one thing that you always need to remember. What's that one piece of advice you would say is this is what you've got to know?
Well, Rob, do all things with love. I mean, that's the bottom line. Do all things with love. And for me in business, that also means operating with integrity all the time. It's never about the dollars. It's always about what's the right thing to do and about the relationship. Relationships first, revenue second, 100% of the time.
What a powerful way to wrap up our interview. Listen, Katarina, if people are looking to learn more about you or find out more about the services that you offer, what is the best place for them to get connected with you?
Everyone can go to my website, which is my name, katarinarando.com. And I know you'll put that in the show notes.
Absolutely.
Katarina with a C. And there we have, if you go to katarinarando.com/links, we have actually several really awesome free gifts for you. We have a Bliss in Your Business checklist. We have all kinds of checklists. And we have right now, what's really good is our Get Your Goals workbook. This is a super comprehensive workbook that I give to my clients every year to support them to get their goals going for the new year. And of course, there you can find out about our retreats and you can find out about my free workshops. I do a free workshop every single month via Zoom, sometimes two. I'm all about service and I love to give massive value in every one of those. And everyone's invited to come to a free workshop as well.
Fantastic. I will definitely put that I'll put both links in there just so great. That people can get to the website and take advantage of your generosity. I really appreciate that. So Katarina, you have shared a tremendous amount of information. It's obvious that you are very passionate about what you do. It is now time for three questions to establish your humanity. Are you ready for these, my friend?
Yes, my friend, I'm ready.
Okay. Do you hit the snooze button or are you a wake up immediately when the alarm goes off person?
Snooze, my friend, snooze.
Okay. And is, are you a one snooze person or are you like a couple times snooze person?
Sometimes I'm one, but today I was two.
Okay. Makes you very human because my father-in-law insists that he actually wakes up before his alarm every day, which, I won't comment on the veracity of that conversation. I will just say that, it would be a gift. If you were writing your memoir, or maybe you have written your memoir, what would the title of the Katarina Rando life story be?
That is such a beautiful question, Rob, because I have written books, but I have not written my memoir. The book would be called Uplift.
I think that so accurately summarizes what you are doing with your life. Okay. So last question for you. You're Italian, and if I came to visit at your house and you were going to make me an Italian dinner, give me just a couple things that you would make sure that you included on the classic Italian dinner for me.
Well, because you would be my very special guest, first thing is I would ask you, what was your favorite dish? Because I would love to make that for you. And of course, if you have any allergies, if you drink wine or you don't drink wine, if you do, is it red or is it white? Because I would want to make a most personalized special gift for you. We would have a special meal for you. If you said to me, Katarina, I eat anything, I would make you tiramisu for dessert. I would make you some rigatoni with I'm like 95% plant-based, but I would make you a nice meat sauce. And you know what I like to do? I like to put nuts in my pasta. But we would put walnuts or pistachios on top also.
That is very creative. It's something I had not ever considered. And I'm sure that I would enjoy it tremendously. Listen, Katarina Rando, thank you so much for being with me today. I appreciate you sharing, and you definitely are a smart person. To all of my listeners, I appreciate you being here. If you have not, make sure that you hit the subscribe button so that you don't miss an episode and so that you are always learning from smart people. And I remind you that when you stop learning, you stop living. Have a great day, everybody.